This is Gerald Brooks. I want to talk to you a minute about leadership. One of the principles that I've learned over life is that you never waste a question. What that means is simply this, that when people ask me questions, they make me think. And whenever they make me think, they make me go deeper than I've gone before. A few years ago, I was asked a question by a young man. He had heard me teach leadership through the years, but he asked a question that began to make me think. The question was this: how do you know if leadership has happened? I looked at him when he asked me the question and said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Whenever you say that there's a leadership meeting, does that guarantee that leadership occurred? Are there certain things that you look for in a leadership meeting that help you to understand if leadership is occurring?" That question, I thought, was so insightful, and it really made me dig down deep to begin to do an analysis on rooms that I've been in that I called leadership rooms. It made me think, in all of those rooms, did leadership really happen? So let me just go backwards on this. For me, I first of all had to determine where leadership has to occur. Where does it have to happen? And is it happening in those places? So number one, as a leader, I realized that leadership always has to happen in me first. Before it happens anywhere else, before it can happen anywhere else, it has to happen in me. I say that to you because I think one of the reasons leadership doesn't happen in a room is often a leader walks in there and just assumes because they have the title of leader that somehow that guarantees that what they're about to say next will create leadership. But the truth of the matter is, if I'm not growing, if I'm not developing as a leader, then there's no guarantee that any room that I'm going to be in, that leadership will occur. So when we talk about leadership rooms, the first room is simply me. Is leadership happening in me? Secondly, for my organization, leadership has to happen in what I call our staff meeting. Now, that happens every Tuesday when I sit down with my key leaders and begin to articulate thoughts for the upcoming week and many times for the upcoming month and even at times for the upcoming year. And if leadership is really going to happen, then it has to occur there. Thirdly, leadership has to occur in my once a month leadership meeting. That's where I sit down with the active leaders or the emerging leaders of my organization. And as I sit down with them, I'm going to talk about leadership. And I'm going to want to see if I can frame a new way of thinking and inspire a new kind of thought line so that they can be more effective leaders. So let me just put it this way. If leadership is happening, there are three rooms I need it to happen in. I need it to happen in me. I need it to happen in my staff meeting, and I need it to happen in my leadership meeting. If it doesn't happen in these places, then it really doesn't mean in any way that I'm going to succeed in propagating a leadership journey. So once we establish the rooms that leadership needs to happen in, then the next question is, how do I know if I'm in those rooms if leadership is really occurring? Now, I'm really going to talk about the next two rooms, the room of my staff meeting and the room of my once-a-month leadership meeting. So that's what I'm talking about intensely here. So one of the things that determines to me if leadership is really happening is this: if there is high energy. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about some kind of makeup emotion. There's a difference between emotion and energy. There are people who are very emotional that really do not have energy to lead anything. They're just happy for a moment. And because they're happy for a moment, it feels good for a moment. But what we know is that leadership is more than a moment. So high energy. What that means is that you can't just go through the motion. Activity and energy are not the same thing. A lot of people have a lot of activities, but that doesn't mean that they're creating leadership. So when leadership is happening, what it means is this: no one is mailing it in. Our heart is in the game. See, organizations need energy burst, and leaders are the sparks which ignite the potential and the possibilities that God wants to do in an organization. And so if leadership's happening, it's going to create energy. That energy is going to begin to develop into energy bursts, and those energy bursts are going to begin to ignite possibilities, and they're going to begin to ignite potential within that room. The question is simple. When you're in the room, is the ball being moved forward? Because if the ball's not being moved forward, then you being in the room is not of a great value. So in your life, when you walk into the room, does the energy rise? Biblically, it's described this way. Stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, if you're stirring up what's on the inside of you, then when you walk in the room, that room's being stirred up. And if you're not being stirred up, the room's not going to be stirred up. So the first thing that I look for to see if leadership is happening is I look for high energy. The next thing that I look for in a room to see if leadership is happening is I look for clear direction. And what clear direction is simply this. Never assume that everyone is knowledgeable of what you're doing. In leadership, the need to cast vision is unending. Vision is the language of leadership. It answers the critical questions. Now, these may not be the questions people are asking outwardly, but they are the questions that people are asking inwardly. And the questions go like this. Do you know where you're going? That's a great question. A lot of people don't know where they're going. But as a leader, if leadership's happening, you are defining the direction of the organization. It's not only do you know where you're going, but do you know why you're going there? Leaders not only define the direction, but they create the motivation. And the motivation is critical because a lot of people want to go places, but they're really not motivated to do the things that will get them to those locations. So that brings us to the next idea. The next idea is, do you know how you're going to get there? And that involves a strategy. The tactical steps to get you from A to B. So in life, if I'm looking for leadership, I'm going to ask myself, if I'm in the room, do people walk out of that room with there being a clear direction? Do they know where we're going? Do they know why we're going? And do they know how we're going? And what happens in a leadership room is that there's clarity brought. People begin to see what they didn't see before. They begin to know what they didn't know before. And the outcome is this: people begin to be bought in. And so what happens in a leadership room is that there's high energy, not just emotion for the moment, but there's energy that begins to propel that room and propels them when they go out of that room. That energy that propels them is partly because there's clear direction. People know where they're going, people know why they're going, and people know how they're going. If you're in the room and people are unclear, then you're not leading. Leaders always create a clarion call. They always create an environment that crystal clear clarity begins to be a part of. The next thing that happens if leadership is occurring in the room is there will be great commitment. So there'll be high energy, there'll be clear direction, but then there will be great commitment. We can never take this for granted. Here's what we know. In our current culture, the natural level of commitment is decreasing. And a part of that is the natural examples of commitment are becoming non-existent. Where people used to see commitment, it's no longer there. So nearly 40 years ago, people went to work for a company. They thought to themselves, I'm going to work for that company for an extended period of years. As I work for that company for an extended period of years, one day I'm going to retire. They felt the company was committed to them. They felt that they were committed to the company, and therefore the outcome was going to be that there was going to be a mutual commitment. But now we know that that's not so. We know that companies are not necessarily committed to their employees, and we know employees are not necessarily committed to their companies. But another thing is, marriage used to be one of the places people would see commitment. And what that meant was simply this, that a husband and wife would enter into a relationship, and that relationship was going to maintain integrity, not just for a short period of time, but over a long period of time. But what we've seen is the base places that people would look to for commitment, it's no longer there. And so people don't see it as often, they don't feel it as often, and they don't hear it as often. So what that means is this. In leadership, if we're going to lead well, we've got to inspire commitment. But if I can say to you, one of the reasons leadership is harder today is it's not just the inspiration of leadership, but it's going beyond that, and it's creating an environment of commitment. See, nowadays, we have to create commitment. In the olden days, people used to be committed, and then they would come to a place of faith in Christ, and we would redirect their commitment. Now, they don't know what commitment looks like. So when they come into a relationship with Christ, we have to teach them the disciplines of commitment. So, if I can put it to you this way, one of the parts of really understanding is leadership happening in the room is that when people are finished, did they see commitment? Did they feel commitment? Did they hear commitment? Did they buy in to commitment? And so, as a leader, you've got to begin to create that. And a part of that is that you've learned it yourself. You know how to be committed. You know how to be all in. You know how to double down. You know how to be the individual that shows up when no one else shows up. I remember several years ago, my son Cody went off to college and he's on a baseball scholarship. And he called me early on and he was a little bit discouraged because he felt like maybe the coach was just being a little bit rough on him as far as attitude and even the activities. And I told Cody, I said, Cody, for the first time, you were in a position where you can call it a scholarship, but someone is paying you to perform. And not only are they paying you to perform, but they are risking their career on your performance. I said, that being true, I want to walk you through the skill sets of being good and being committed to a job. So I taught him some basic skills. The first one is to show up. The simple truth of the matter is so many people no longer show up. They no longer show up when it comes to their responsibilities and obligations. The second thing is to show up and to show up on time. Well, is that a distinction? A lot of people show up, but they think if they show up 20 minutes late, that's all right. Or if they show up an hour late, that's all right. I said, learn to show up. If you show up, you beat the vast majority of people. If you show up on time, you beat a larger percentage of people. And then not only show up on time, but show up prepared. Isn't it amazing that when people walk into the office, they consider that the first thing that they do is that they walk around and they begin to have coffee and they begin to sort of get in the mood. They don't really get to work. I said, show up, you're going to beat the majority of people. Show up on time, you're going to beat a whole lot more people. Show up prepared, and all of a sudden, you are in front of most people. And then I said, show up and do your best. When you show up, just do your best. So having someone show up and many times just sort of half-heartedly do something, but show up and do your best. But then I said, if you want to be in the top echelon of people, not only show up, not only show up on time, not only show up prepared, not only show up to do your best, but show up and do it for Jesus. I said, if you will do those things, you will be in the top echelon of whatever field you're in, because you have just separated yourself from the crowd. Now, showing up on time, showing up and being prepared, showing up and doing your best, showing up and doing it for Jesus, that's commitment. That's what commitment looks like. So here's what I'm saying to you. As a leader, you've got to learn to be committed. You have to teach commitment. You have to model commitment. And if you're fortunate in your organization, you get to spot commitment. And then you get to mentor commitment. And then you get to acknowledge commitment. And then you get to trust commitment. So a long time ago, when I was asked, what does it look like? What does it look like to be a leader? I said, have high energy. Make sure there's clear direction. Let there be great commitment. And the final thought is this: create intense focus. What I know is where leadership is happening, we don't get distracted. I was reading an article years ago by Fuller University. In that article, they said this: the average person is distracted every 3 minutes. But not only are they distracted, once they're distracted, it takes them over 20 minutes to become refocused. Man, think about that. Now, this is sort of old school football for some of you, but the Dallas Cowboys used to have an individual named Flozell Adams. He was a part of their offensive line. If you were a Dallas Cowboy fan, you knew that in any game, he was going to have 2 to 3 false starts, illegal procedure. And so that was going to happen. I remember Russ Grimm, who was a part of the Washington Redskins Hogs that won the Super Bowl. He was asked, being an all-pro lineman, what was it like to be an all-pro? And then the interviewer asked this: is Flozell Adams, is he have the potential of being an all-pro? Russ Grimm said this: he has the talent, but what he lacks is the focus. He said, you have to be focused for nearly 60 times a game for 12 seconds. He said, Flozell Adams doesn't have a talent problem. He has a focus problem. What I'm telling you is this. I know a lot of people who don't have a talent problem. What they do have is a focus problem. And so as a leader, if leadership is happening, there's high energy, there's a clear direction, there's great commitment, and then there's intense focus. That's what a leadership meeting looks like. When it's all said and done, these are the qualities that happen in a room. I hope this helps you. I hope that maybe it can help you in understanding the leadership rooms that you're in, how to manage the leadership rooms that you're in, what to look for in the leadership rooms that you're in, and even what to create in the leadership rooms that you're in. Let me say to you that it is such an honor to have you listen to the podcast. And maybe you could do me a favor and you could think of a few leaders that might just be helped by the thoughts that we've put forth today. Would you consider just letting them know about the podcast? That being said, we've just had some successful roundtables throughout the country. The next roundtable that I'll be participating in is in Northern California. So if you know anyone in the Northern California area that's available that first week of June, I think we're going to be able to create a leadership environment where we're going to be able to accomplish these four things. And so I'm praying for you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for making life better for so many, because here's what I know about every leader. When you become a leader, you lose the right to think about yourself. Thank you for being great leaders who think about other people. Thank you so much.